begin the Karan Daf Masechta Sukkah Daf Chavav. We begin on the second line down from the top of the Yamed. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous Daf, and that is, we introduced on the previous Mishnah the halacha of Hilchei Mitzvah, they're patur from the Sukkah, which the Gemara elaborated this on and explained in the general context that someone that's Oisik B'Mitzvah is engaged already in one Mitzvah, which in this case is going to be Mekabel Pnei Rabbi, or to learn Torah, or to be Paid Shvuyim, then he's exempt from another Mitzvah, which in the case of Ar Masech is discussing halachas of Sukkah. So the Gemara continues, Tani Lo Na Braisa, Amram Chanani Ben Akavya, Kaisve Svarm Tfilin Mezuzis, those who write Sefri Torah, Tfilin Mezuzis, which the acronym is Stam, Hain B'Tagirein, them, meaning the Seferim themselves, and their merchants, which are those who purchase from the Seferim to sell it, and they find people that need it, B'Tagari Tagirein, and even the middlemen, the merchants of the merchants, who are involved in selling these Sefri Torah and Tfilin Mezuzis, and all those who are involved in the work of heaven, which the Gemara explains, which comes to include those who sell tchelis, this type of blue wool which was used for the tzitzis, they're exempt from kriyishma, from davening, from putting on tefillin, and from all mitzvahs which are said in the Torah. L'kayim divrei Rabbi Yisrael Galili, which comes to fulfill what Rabbi Yisrael Galili had said, shehayu Rabbi Yisrael Galili aimer, ho'isik b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah. Like he said, that someone that's engaged in one mitzvah, which in the case of writing a Sefer Torah, tefillin mezuzah, even selling it, is engaged in one act of a mitzvah, he's exempt from other mitzvahs, and therefore he doesn't have to put on tefillin, or daven, or say kriya shema either. Now, related to this halacha, which we spoke about in our Mishnah, the Gemara is talking about the b'raisa. Holchi drachem bayayim, those who are going on the road during the daytime, they're exempt from Sukkah during the daytime. Now this seems like a similar halacha, like Hilchei Mitzvah, but it's fundamentally different. It's not based on the principle of Oisik B'Mitzvah, because he's not. He's just going to take care of his own personal needs like he's going to business. Now, why would he be exempt from a Sukkah if he's going on the road during the daytime? That's because it says the pasuk says regarding this Mitzvah Sukkah, it says, Basukah is Teshvu, that in Sukkahs one should dwell, which the Gemara understands that to mean that just like one dwells in his home, for 7 days out of the year, you have to dwell in a sukkah instead of one's home. Now, as Rashi explains, just like the entire year, you're living a regular life, which means to say you're not secluded just in one's home. You wouldn't stop yourself from going to do business, and which requires you not to be eating in your house, but rather on the road. So too, all the 7 days of the Yom Tov Sukkahs, which when it's, let's say, during Chol HaMoed, you don't have to stop yourself from going somewhere and then therefore not eating in the sukkah or not sleeping in the sukkah, just like you wouldn't be eating and sleeping at home because you have to take business trips, there's things you have to do. Now Taisa says similarly regarding the patur that we mentioned many times of mitzvah, of that if someone's in pain, he doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. Taisa says that same exemption is also from the same halacha of what's called teishvu ke'intiduru. The entire mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah, of eating and drinking and sleeping, is only how you would normally do it during the year in your home. That's what you have to be doing in your sukkah. Now, generally, a person would not stay in his home if he's in pain. If the home is causing him pain, it's too hot, it's too cold, there's a smell, he's going to leave. So too for a sukkah, there is no obligation to eat or sleep or drink in a sukkah if you wouldn't have done that in one's home similarly to. So therefore, if one is on his way, let's say, on a business trip, although it's not a mitzvah mission, he's going to be exempt from sleeping or eating and drinking in the sukkah during the daytime when he's traveling. However, v'chayav balayla, he would be obligated in the sukkah at nighttime when he's not traveling, because then he would be dwelling, and the same chiv would apply when you're not on a trip to be in the sukkah. Versus hochad rochem balayla, let's say he's only traveling at nighttime. So patur min ha'sukkah balayla, again, just like you travel, which is not in a place of residence, but you're actually on the road, you would do that during the year. So if you're traveling during the nighttime, so at nighttime you're exempt from the sukkah. But v'chayav mayayim, but then during the daytime, let's say you would be eating something, then you would be obligated in the sukkah. Just like at daytime, when you wouldn't be traveling, you would be in a residential type. Now that residence is supposed to be in the sukkah. However, if you're on the road nighttime and daytime, then you're exempt from the sukkah both by day and by night. Again, how it would be normally during the year. However, as we mentioned on Mishnah, now this is a fundamentally different idea, which is if you're going on a trip for a mitzvah purpose, then you're exempt from the sukkah whether by day or by night, even if you're only traveling during the daytime. Now, because here, as we said, it's a different principle, which is based on because you're preoccupied, you're busy, you're being tarred with the mitzvah purpose, and hence, if I had to go ahead and build a sukkah and find somewhere to eat in the sukkah, it would take away, detract from the mitzvah that I'm involved in. Therefore, even at nighttime, which a regular person on the trip would have to sleep in the sukkah, this person on the mitzvah mission does not have to sleep in the sukkah. Kihadir Rav Chizr Rabbi Rav Huna, that Kiava Aili b'Shabbat de Rigla, the Beresh Galusa, that when they would go on the Shabbos of the Yomtim to visit the Resh Galusa, have a gonu araksa de Surah, they slept by the bank of the river of Surah. Because Amri, they said, and that was not in the sukkah, because they said, Anan shluchim mitzvah anan, we are mitzvah messengers, because we're coming to hear the lecture and to be makabel the pnei of the Rebbe, of the Resh Galusa. Therefore, we're exempt from sleeping in the sukkah, even though we're not traveling now. But that's what's called shluchim mitzvah, and therefore they're pturim from the sukkah at all times, because this is what they're engaged in. Their whole purpose of this mission is for the sukkah, and therefore they don't have to, even when they're not actually traveling. Related to this, the Gemara brings Tarban Ulan the Braisa. Shrimer hi'ir bayyim. Again, regarding those that are engaged in activities which are normal for the throughout the rest of the year, which would apply similarly to Teish V'Kein to do for the Yom Tov Sukkos, but not in a mitzvah engagement. So Shrimer hi'ir bayyim, someone that's watching the city during the daytime, so Peturim in the Sukkah bayyim. So then he's exempt from the Sukkah during the daytime, but V'chayim malayla, but he is obligated at nighttime. Shrimer hi'ir balayla, let's say he's a city watchman at nighttime, so Peturim in the Sukkah balayla, so he's exempt from the Sukkah at nighttime, but V'chayim bayyim, then he would be obligated during the daytime. Shrimer hi'ir bayyim 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 balayla, however, if he's watching the city both by night and by day, then Peturim in the Sukkah bayyim 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 balayla, then he would be exempt from the Sukkah both by day and by night. Shrimiganis ufardesim, if he's watching the garden and the orchards, where such type of people never leave from there, they're there 24. So Baturin bin Bayam bin Malala, such a person would be exempt from the sukkah again, both by day and by night, because that's normative practice, which the person does not stay in his home. He's there for the day and the night shift, and therefore he'd be exempt from the sukkah. But the Gemara asks, Vilavdi sukkah hasamalaisvu. What do you mean? We know that if it's what's called Efshul Lekayim Shneim, if you can fulfill both mitzvahs, there's no such halacha of Eishik B'mitzvah Patim and a mitzvah, just like when you're wearing tzitzis. So why don't you say that, yes, you have to stay there, but stay there in a sukkah hut that you're going to be watching the gardens and the orchards, but in a sukkah, and then you could fulfill that mitzvah by the same time that you're watching. So the Gemara gives two answers why it's not applicable to put up a sukkah there. Abayu, I mean, he says, because Teishu came to Dura. As we mentioned before, that the whole mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah is that it should be exactly how it is throughout the entire year, tiduru, that you have in your house. That's how it should be in your sukkah. Now, what does that mean? Just like throughout the rest of the year, you have your bed, you have all your necessities, and you have your bedspreads, and that's what's required to have in your sukkah too. Now, that's not possible for this person who's watching out in the gardens and the orchards because of the difficulty of bringing all the stuff all the way out to the fields. And therefore, since he cannot, so he cannot have Kain to Duru, so therefore there's no chiv of Teishvu, and that's why he has no chiv of sitting in the sukkah, because then it would be the same like Mitzar, because it wouldn't qualify for Kain to Duru. Rava says, Pirtza Koyra Leganav, that a breach is a call to the thief, which is a type of a parable, which basically the idea is that if you're showing some type of vulnerability, then the Ganav is going to come. So here also, if the ganav, the thief, sees that he's sitting in the sukkah at nighttime, so he's going to be able to find a direction that you're covered with the sukkah and is going to have a field day in stealing all the produce from the other direction when you can't see him because you're covered by the walls of the sukkah. So the Gemara asks Maibai now, what's the practical ramifications of these two interpretations of why the shomer ganav and pardesim is potter from sitting in the sukkah? The Gemara says, Ikebenai, the difference between them would be the komante kari de peri, where he's watching a pile of produce where that's just piled up directly in front of him. So even sitting in the sukkah, he could watch it, and there's no pirtza kari leganav. So according to Rava's interpretation, one would be chayiv in a sukkah then, even if he's a shomer ganav or pardesim, because then there would not be any vulnerability because you could pile up right in front of you and it wouldn't be behind where the walls of the sukkah are. But versus what Abaye said, one would still be exempt because it wouldn't be qualified as kain tiduru because he can't schlep out his beds and his bedspreads and all his necessities that he needs that he usually has in his home. Now the Gemara continues explaining our mission for the previous daf that said other those who are exempt from the sukkah, those who are ill, and even those who attend the ill people, are both exempt from sitting in the sukkah on sukkahs. So the Gemara elaborates, this regarding the ill person that we spoke about that is exempt from sitting in the sukkah on sukkahs, not just someone that is ill with danger to his life, even a lower category of a sick person that there's no danger to his life, he's also exempt. Even if he just has something bothering him in his eye. Even if he just has some type of headache, that still would be considered an exemption from sitting in the sukkah. As a matter of fact, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Pam achas chashti be'ena b'kesari. One time I was in Kesari and I had something bothering me in my eye. V'hit Rabbi Yisi b'ribi, and Rabbi Yisi, the great one, which he was the sage and the sharp one in the generation, who that's a reference to Rabbi Yisi b'chalafta, he permitted lishin ani u'misham shechutz l'sukkah. He permitted me and my attendant to sleep outside the sukkah, which again is that same idea that a chayla misham shein, even something as just a little mechush be'alma, something that's just bothering, permits one to sit out of the sukkah. The Gemara brings another story. Rav Shaula Rav Acha Bardla. Rav permitted to Rav Acha Bardla lemigna bekilta besukkah. He permitted him to sleep in a canopy in a sukkah. Now that's in spite of the fact that it had a roof and it was 10 tefachim high, which essentially makes it like you're in that oil and not in the oil of the sukkah. And as if it's as if he was sleeping out of the sukkah, Mishum Baki, because of mosquitoes. Again, all these stories are illustrating this idea of that a sick person, even someone that's not sick, let's say just mosquitoes, because of mitzdar, because of the pain, again, it's not going to be teshvik in the dur, you're exempt, and you don't have to sleep in the sukkah. Rava, sharli l'rabacha bar ada, another story that Rava permitted to Rabacha bar ada, l'migna bar mitalalta, he permitted him to sleep outside the sukkah, shem sircha de gargishta, because of the smell of the white ground which they used for the sukkah, that had a smell, and therefore, again, it was a mitzdar, so he was able to sleep out of the sukkah. As the Gemara says, Rava Tamei, Rava goes according to his opinion, the Amar Rava, the Rava says, Mitzdar, someone that the sukkah, the elements in the environment of the sukkah are what paining him, so put them in the sukkah, such a person is exempt from sleeping in the sukkah. Now, the Gemara asks, but Va'anantana, we learned in our Mishnah, which is what we just opened up this conversation with, Chulin u'misham shein patur min ha'sukkah, we said that an ill person and their attendants are exempt from the sukkah, which sounds like chayla in, someone that fits the category of an ill person. Now, that doesn't have to be that it's a danger to his life, or even chayla shein b'sakana. It could be just what's called mechush. It could be just something that's a minor ailment. But it has to be some form of an ailment. But sounds like mitzdar alai. But someone that's just in pain, there's a smell, it's bothering him, that won't be an exemption. There's no illness to the person. So how could Rabbi say that mitzdar is potter when that Mishnah sounds like it has to be something higher to be potter? It has to be some type of a chayli. And that Gemara says, Ami, they said no. Chayla, which our Mishnah was told about an ill person, who umishamsha p'turim. The chiddush of our Mishnah, why he's picked a higher level of a sick person, even if it's just, let's say, a mechush, is to say that even the attendants of that person are going to be exempt. Versus mitzdar, someone that's in pain, is who potter mishamsha b'loi. You're right, mitzdar is potter from the sukkah, but we didn't pick that for the Mishnah because such a person, his attendants would not be exempt. It's only someone that's sick, that's ill, even something very minor, then even the attendants are potter, but again, mitzdar would be potter, but not the mishamshim of the person that's in pain. Now, the third case that our Mishnah spoke about of an exemption from sleeping and eating in the sukkah are oichel machilas aroichutz l'sukkah. A person is allowed to eat a temporary type of eating out of the sukkah. So the Gemara has become achilas aroi. What is considered a temporary type of eating, which is not considered a kavias, which requires eating in the sukkah? So Amar Rav Yosef says, tarti atlas bay, two or three eggs. Now, Amar Abaye asked on Rav Yosef, but vazim and sagin, there's many times that sagile leitnish bahachi, that's enough for a person, vahavle sudis kvan, that would be the permanent meal that a person would be eating that day, two or three eggs. Why would that be considered achilas aroi? Some people eat that for an entire meal, and therefore that should be obligated in the sukkah. So Elam Abaye, rather Abaye argues, and he says the shear for achilas aroi is much less. It's kedetoyim bar beirav v'ayelikal. It's the amount that a yeshiva student would be eating, and then he would go straight into the lecture, into the shear. That means in the morning time when they would go to the Beis Medrash, and he's afraid that maybe the shear is going to go on for a long time, so he quickly taste something and he drinks something, that amount is what's considered aroi. That's something that's very small, that's like a snack, that's what would be considered exempt from the sukkah, but two or three eggs is basically what some people eat for a meal, and that would be chayiv in a sukkah. Now related to this, the Gemara says, turn about and learn the braisa. Oichlin achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah. A person is allowed to eat a temporary, a snack type of eating outside the sukkah. However, although that was qualified for an exemption from the sukkah, however, you're not allowed to take even a small little nap, which is also considered a temporary for sleeping, you're not allowed to do that out of the sukkah. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? Why is sleeping different than eating? So Rav Asher says, Gzeres Shem Yiradim, it's a decree because maybe the person might slumber, he might go into a deep sleep, and sleep what's called a Shinis Keva, permanent sleep. Now that's forbidden because that has to be in the Sukkah, Kein Tuduru, and therefore we don't even let you take a smaller than that because that might be prolonged. Now Amalei Abaya asks, Elohad Tanya, but then this they were learning in the Braisa regarding a different area of Halacha that says, Yashin Adam Shinis Arai B'Tfilin, said that a person is allowed to take a small little nap when he's wearing his tefillin. Avolishin is kiva, but not a permanent sleep when he's wearing his tefillin. And that's because of a concern that if he's going to be taking a prolonged sleep, then he might pass gas, which are prohibited to do with when one is wearing the tefillin. So therefore, shinis aroi, where we're not concerned that you're going to pass gas in that small amount of napping, you're allowed to. But shinis kiva, you're not allowed to. But the question is, according to what we just said, we should be concerned like that one is going to fall asleep and it's going to become a shinis kva. So why do we allow a shinis aroi with tefillin if then a person might have prolonged and then he might pass gas, which is forbidden, just like we say that same concern for the halacha of sukkah. So Amar Bisi Berida Reiloi, he says, no, the reason why we're not concerned by the halacha of tefillin is b'meisir shinasi lachem, when he gives over, so to speak, his sleep to someone else, which is he tells his friend, look, if I do fall asleep, it turns into a real sleep, wake me up. So that's why we're not concerned, and you're allowed to take a small little nap, because if it gets longer, you're not going to end up coming to Shinis Kavan, because your friend's going to wake you up. Now, Maskev Le'Rav Mesharsha. Mesharsha doesn't like that answer, because he says, Arvach, your guarantor, the one that you said to wake you up, Arvat Sarach, he needs his own guarantor. In other words, maybe he's also going to lay down and fall asleep. How does that help by telling someone else he might fall asleep too, and then you might come to Shinis Kavan, pass gas when wearing tefillin? So therefore, Ella Amar Rabbi Bechana Rabbi Yechanan, he says a different pshat, why by tefillin we say a shinis aroi is permitted and we're not concerned it's going to turn into shinis keva the way we said for sleeping outside the sukkah, is because the halacha by tefillin is talking about b'maniach reishri ben birkavaskin. We're talking about when he puts his head between his feet, where for sure you can't sleep a prolonged amount of time like that. That's why we're not concerned that it's going to come to shinis keva. But when we said regarding the halachas of sukkah, was when you're laying down normally where you could sleep for a long time, and therefore we said you can't even do that because that might lead to shinis keva, which is forbidden to be done outside the sukkah. That was the interpretation that the first pshat the Gemara gave regarding that it's shemi yiradim, that this is what Rav Ashi said. However, Rav Amar Rava says no. He says we're not concerned for shemi yiradim. And that's why by tefillin we showed this halacha that you're allowed to sleep a shinis aroi, and not because you have your head between your feet or because you have someone else to wake you up. It's okay. We're not concerned that if you take a small little nap, you're going to have a prolonged sleep. However, the reason why by sukkah we said that you can't even sleep a shinis aroi out of the sukkah, that's because in keval shina, there is no permanence for sleep. And what that means is because there is no fundamental difference between sleeping for a prolonged time or a small time for the halachas of sukkah. Because a person doesn't set himself a certain amount that he needs to have. Because sometimes a person will just have a little dremel, like it's called. He'll just doze off a little bit and that'll be enough for him. And sometimes he needs more sleep. One doesn't know. It's not the same as a meal. And therefore, this becomes his sleep. And therefore, that's forbidden. Whatever the sleep is, whatever small amount of time it is, since that might work, that will be considered sleep, which has to be done in the sukkah. However, by tefillin, the reason has nothing to do with sleep per se. It's just as sleep as a conduit. In other words, it's something that could then bring to possibly violating passing gas, but not because of sleeping. And therefore, since with a small amount of sleeping, we're not concerned you're going to pass gas. So that's why by tefillin, shinis aroi is permitted, shinis kva not. But regarding sleeping out of the sukkah, where the act that we're concerned about is the sleeping, even a small amount of sleep would be considered sleep, which is not the same as eating, where only a sudis kava is considered eating. Less than that is considered something that wouldn't fill a person up, but sleep, that could be the case, that even a small amount would work. That's why out of the sukkah, even shinis aroi is forbidden. Now the Gemara continues on this theme that we discussed about sleeping with tefillin. So the Gemara brings a three-way contradiction regarding the halachas of sleeping with one's tefillin. Tana Chada, on the one hand, we have one braisa that says, Yashin Adam mit tefillin shins aray. A person is allowed to sleep with his tefillin, a temporary type of sleeping. Avolishin is kvab, but not a permanent. The one brace that we just brought down before, which has this difference between aray and kvab. But then Tani Idik will learn another brace. Bein kvab, bein aray. That one is allowed to sleep with his tefillin, whether even a cat nap or even a regular sleep. But then yet, Tani Idik will learn another brace, a third brace, the loy kvav loy aroi. No, you're not allowed to sleep with your tefillin, not a regular sleep, and not even a nap type of sleep. So how do we resolve these three braces? So the Gemara says, loy kashat, not a contradiction. They're all talking about different types of cases. Ha, the third brisa that was talking about that you're not allowed to sleep in tefillin, not kivat, not arai, that was talking about denokat lebiyade, where he's holding onto the tefillin in his hand. Even a nap, your hands open up and you might drop the tefillin, and therefore we don't let you even sleep, just a nap. Ha, the first brisa, the one we had discussed in the Gemara before, that says arai is mutter and kivat is aser, is the manchi bereshi, where he's wearing it on his head, you're wearing a tefillin. There the concern is, if you're going to sleep for a long time, you might be mafiach, you might pass gas, so a small time not, so therefore, small time you're allowed to, a long time you're not allowed to. Ha, regarding the second brisa, was talking about the paras sudri levei, where you covered it with a kerchief, and you put it next to your head, where there, even if you're sleeping a regular sleep, you're allowed to, because the Torah was not given to malach asharis, to ministering angels, we're regular people, and therefore what are you going to do? You can't control your bodily functions. So if you're not wearing your tefillin, even though it's right next to the person, and even though we would like that you shouldn't pass gas near the tefillin, but since you're covering it and you're not wearing it, then even a shinus kfar is permitted because we're just human, and if that happens, that the person passed gas, therefore that's okay. However, the Gemara asks now, v'kama shinus arai, what is considered a temporary type of sleep where, at least in regards to the halachas of tefillin, one is allowed to take a small little nap, a shinus arai, with this tefillin on? So the Gemara says, Tani Ram bar Yechezkel, the amount of time it takes to walk 100 amma, that's the amount of time of shinus arai. More than that time would be considered shinus kva, and one would be forbidden to wear his tefillin for that type of a nap. Tanam hoch is similar in the brisa that says that this same amount of 100 amma being the amount of shinus arai, where the brisa says hayashin b'tefillin v'roi kari. If someone was sleeping with his tefillin on and he had a seminal emission, then he has to take his tefillin off as long as he still has the tumah of kari. Now, oiches b'ritzua, what he does is he holds on to the strap, we continue on to Amud Beis, but ve'ein oiches b'ktzitza, however, he's not allowed to touch the backs of the tefillin themselves, because that is a higher level of Kedusha, so although he has to get the tefillin off, he has to do it by the straps, not by holding the backs of the tefillin itself. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. The Chum say, yashin adam b'tefillin shinus arai, a person is allowed to sleep with his tefillin, a temporary type of a sleep, avoloshin is kava, but not a permanent type of sleep, the kama shinus arai, and how much is a temporary sleep? That is, as we said, Rami Bar Yecheskel had said, k'dehiluch me'ama, the amount of time it takes to walk, 100 amma, again, saying that same idea, that's the amount of shinus arai. Omer Rav, so Rav says, asa la'odam lishin b'yoyim yisim shinus hasus. So, similar to this about a small amount of sleeping, a small nap, Rav says that on a regular day, nothing to do with sukkah, nothing to do with film, a person is forbidden from sleeping during the day more than the amount that a horse sleeps. And the reason is, as Rashi explains, because of bittul Torah, because if one's going to be sleeping throughout the day, he's not going to be able to learn enough Torah. Now, so the Gemara asks, b'kama shinus hasus, how much is the sleeping that a horse usually sleeps, which a horse doesn't sleep that much? And that the Gemara says, shit nishmi, 60 breaths, that amount of time that it takes to breathe 60 breaths, that's how long is considered the sleeping of a horse, and that's how much a person is allowed to sleep during the day. More than that, it's forbidden for a person to sleep during the daytime. Omar Abaye says regarding this about sleeping during the day, he says, Shinsei Demar, the sleep of the master, which is a reference to his Rebbe, Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, was Kidrav, was like Rav, who Rabbah had learned from Rav, how much Rav slept during the daytime. That's how much Rabbah would sleep during the daytime. Udirav Kidrebbe, and Rav sleeping during the daytime was taken after Rebbe, who Rav had learned from Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who he grew up by him. So he learned from Rebbe Dal Nasi how much he slept. Udu Rebbe kid David, and Rebbe sleeping was the same as David's, who he had a Messiah from his fathers, that this was how long David HaMelech slept. So that's how much Rebbe slept. Udu David kid Susia, and David slept the amount that a horse sleeps. Udu Susia, as we said before, Sheet Nishmi, and the amount that a horse sleeps is 60 breaths. That's again how much they would sleep during the daytime. But again, more than that, as Rav said, that's forbidden because of Bittul Torah. Now, the Gemara tells us, Abaya Havanayim, Abaya would sleep during the daytime. The amount of time it takes to get from Pumbadisa to Beikuvi. So Karle Rav Yisa, Rav Yisa quoted a pasuk of Mishlei regarding Abaya, and he said, Ad motzai otzel tishkem, until how long will the lazy one lay down? Masai taka mishnes necha, from when will you get up from your slumber, from your sleep, which means you're sleeping too much. During the daytime, a person should barely be sleeping, again, because of Bittul Torah, a person has to learn as much Torah as they can. Then the Gemara continues on this halacha about sleeping with tefillin. Trambon, learn the brisa. Hanichnis lishin bayem. If someone is going to lay down to sleep during the daytime, now his whole intention is just to sleep, and he doesn't have any other thoughts about doing anything else. So then the halacha, the Braisa says is, Rotzah Chaylitz, Rotzah Maneach, if he wants, he could take off his tefillin. If he wants, he could keep his tefillin on. And the reason is because there's none of the two concerns, because during the daytime, it's not customary to have relations with one's wife. And also, to not sleep a permanent sleep during the daytime, so therefore there's no problem about wearing tefillin in the Shina Sarai. Balayla, however, if a person is going to lay down at the nighttime, then Chaylitz, one has to take his tefillin off, even if he's going to just do a Shina Sarai, just taking a small little nap, because maybe he's going to change his mind and sleep will overtake him and he'll have a Shina Skva, which is forbidden with tefillin, again, because he might pass gas. So even if his intention is just to take a small little nap, he has to take his tefillin off, ve'inimanech, and you can't leave it on. Div Reb Nosson, that's the opinion of Reb Nosson. He says, Hayaladim, the Bachrim, the young men, La'olam Chalitzin, they always have to take off that tefillin when they're going to lay down, even during the daytime. Ve'enam Anichin, they can't leave it on. Because they're accustomed to having tuma. Now, the Gemara assumes right now what that means is because maybe they're going to have a seminal emission, because the thoughts about things that could bring the tuma of Kari are more accustomed by the young men, and therefore such type of people, they always have to take off the tefillin. Now, so the Gemara says, lame because of Rabbi Yossi. So let's say, based on what Rabbi Yossi just said, that he holds, Balkari, asla, neich tefillin, must be, that a Balkari is forbidden to wear tefillin. And that's why they said that the young men, who they have these thoughts and they have some little missions, would have to take it off. Now, what that means is that we have to do like that because we know the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi in most places. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Gittin, that Nimukei Umay, he always has his reasons by him and his logic is sound, so therefore we should paskin like him, which sounds like from this halacha that a balkari is forbidden to wear tefillin, because why else is he saying that they're rekilim betumah and they have to take off their tefillin when they lay down, even for a shinas harai? Now the Gemara says, no, I'm a ba'ya. He says, what we mean, b'yaladim means the young men, v'neshasein imon askin. We're talking about that their wives are laying down there too. Shem yavoyle, they herigul davar. They might come to things which are related to intimacy, which that's definitely disgraceful to be done with by wearing the tefillin, to have kalas roish levity while wearing tefillin. But however, that has nothing to do with Tumas Kari, even without a seminal emission. The idea is because their wives are dear, but if they were going to lay down by themselves, that wouldn't be a concern. And actually, it might not be that a Bal Kari is forbidden to wear tefillin. It's just that to do acts of intimacy, Kalas Roish, that's the problem that he was concerned with. And that's why if their wives are there, that's why they have to take off the tefillin, even during the daytime, and even they're intending to just have a Shina Saroy, a temporary nap. Tarman, we learn the Braisa. Shachach v'shimish mitas v'tefillin. However, if someone forgot, and he actually had intercourse while wearing his tefillin, eino eichis, he shouldn't hold on to his tefillin, loy beritzua, not the straps, loy beritzitza, not the box of the tefillin itself, until he washes his hands first, and then he takes it off. And the reason is, because the hands of a person are always occupied, they're always busy, and maybe they touched in an unclean place during intimacy, and because of that, they're going to be unclean, which is not proper to touch one's tefillin like that. So after the shimish mitasei, should first wash his hands and then go ahead and take off the tefillin. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of that last halach from the previous Mishnah regarding achilas arai, temporary eating, a snack, which is permitted to be done out of the sukkah. So the Mishnah says, Maisa fevi loyler b'yichin men zakai. There was once a story that they brought for b'yichin men zakai, lita mesa tafsel, just to taste the dish. And they brought from Mlil shnei kesavis v'dlishal mayim. They brought him two dates and a pitcher of water. And they said, Helim l'sukkah, bring it up to the sukkah, and that's where we'll taste it, that's where we'll eat it. However, when they would give to Reb Tzadik to eat a food that was pachas mikibaya, less than the size of an egg, then he wouldn't wash his hands. Rather, not libamapa, he would take it by wrapping his hands in a kerchief because of cleanliness. Now, the reason is because he held that less than a kabeya, a size of an egg of food, does not require an atilas yadayim. So he didn't wash his hands, but he would just wrap it up just because of cleanliness, because he wasn't washing it. V'ochle chutz l'sukkah, and he would eat it out of the sukkah because he held less than the kabeya of food does not need to be eaten in the sukkah. And b'loy berach achrab, and he also did not make berachas hamazon afterwards because he held, like Rabbi Yehuda, which is mentioned in the Gemara, Masechtas Brachas, Daf Mem Tesem and Aleph, that he expounds v'achalta v'shavata v'rach, that you should eat and be satiated and blessed, which means to say only an achila that has sviya, an eating that makes satiation, which is the size of an egg, that needs uberachta, that needs to be have benching. But less than the kebeya, you don't have to bench afterwards. But the bracha beforehand, that of eating the food before, and then of course he made a bracha rishayna because you're having pleasure from this world, and as the Gemara in Bracha says, you're not allowed to have any hana from this world without making a bracha. So he made the bracha before, but he didn't make brachas hamasan afterwards. So again, since it was less than the beya, he didn't wash the netilas yadayim. He would eat it out of the sukkah, and he didn't make brachas hamasan afterwards. Now the Gemara first asks on the beginning of this Mishnah, the whole premise of this Mishnah, Maisa Lister? You bring a story to contradict what you just said? In other words, is that normal that people that they're saying something, then they say, oh, and let me tell you a story that then contradicts what they said? The first half of this Mishnah, which was the previous Mishnah, said you're allowed to eat and drink a snack out of the sukkah, and yet this Mishnah starts off by saying that he was just tasting a dish, which is definitely included in the snack, and it said that they said you need to have a sukkah. So what's going on? So the Gemara answers, Chesuri Mechsur B'Hachiktani. There are words missing from the text, and this is what the Mishnah means to say. If a person, however, wants to be stringent on himself, then machmer, he's allowed to be stringent, and there's not considered gaiva, that arrogance as of, oh, I'm such a big tzaddik that I'm even what's allowed to be eaten out of the sukkah, I'm not going to eat out of the sukkah. That's not a problem, although sometimes there is such an element of yuhara, here that doesn't apply. And that's also the story that our Mishnah tells us, that they brought just a cooked dish for Rabbi Yechim Zakeh to taste. They brought from Gleil two dates and a pitcher of water. And as we continue on top of Chavzayim and Aleph, and that's what our Mishnah tells us, that they said, you know, bring it up to the sukkah, which, although one does not have to, because it's a chil sarai, one is allowed to be machmer, and that's not considered yura, there's no problem with gaiva. However, and that is what our Mishnah said, however, when they gave to Reb Tzaddik food which was less than the egg, not lebimapa, he didn't wash it to his dime, he took it with a kerchief. The achle chutz asuk, he would eat it out of the sukkah, and they didn't make a bracha, a birchas hamazon afterwards, because, or bracha achreina, because the point is, it's less than the beya, and that's what we said, achil sarai, you do not have to eat within the sukkah. So although there were those who were machmer, and you're allowed to, but there's nothing wrong, like Reb Tzaddik, where he ate achil sarai out of the sukkah, because that's permitted. Now, however, the Gemara makes an inference, and says, what it sounds like, however, from this story with Reb Tzaddik, sounds like ha-kebeya ba-yisukkah. It sounds like only because the food was less than the size of an egg, that's why it didn't need a sukkah. But if it was the size of an egg, it would require a sukkah. And therefore, the Gemara says, let's say this contradicts Rabbi Yosef, who he said on the previous daf, that if what's considered achilas arai, up to 2-3 eggs, that's considered arai. Now, here, however, it sounds like that even one egg would be considered a kava, which requires a sukkah. And vabaya, it should even contradict what Abaya said, who he said that achilas arai is the amount that a yeshiva man, how much he eats, which is the size of an egg, because generally an egg is something that you could take in one swallow. As the Gemara says in the last paragraph of Masechtas Yuma, from the pasuk Mikol Oichel Asher Yoichel, what's the type of food that could fit down the throat at one time? That's the size of an egg. And that, Abaya said, that is considered arai, that's considered something that's just a snack. Yet here we see clearly from Reb Tzaddik that the size of an egg would not be arai, that would be considered achilas kva, and then you would be mechuyev in the sukkah. So does this contradict Reb Yosef and Abaya? So the Gemara says no. Dilma pachas mikibaya, maybe the reason is because less than the size of an egg is relative to the other two halachas. There were three halachas mentioned that Reb Tzaddik did when it was the food less than the size of a kibaya. Because when they're less than the kebeya, then the tilu ubracha lebaya, then you don't need the tilas yadayim, and you also don't have to make a bracha achreina. Ha kebeya, but if it would be the size of an egg, then bay natila bracha, then it would require the tilas yadayim, and it would require bracha achreina. And that's why the illustration of that case of the story of Reb Tzaddik was said only regard to less than the kebeya, because we wanted to teach you all those three chedushim. You don't need the tilas yadayim, you don't need bracha achreina, and you also don't need to eat in the sukkah. But it could be that a sukkah even the size of an egg would also be potter from eating in the sukkah, because it could be like a baya, or it could be like Rav Yosef, even up to 2-3 eggs. But it's not a contradiction that it was saying it less than a baya, because that was relative to the other two halachas, where that we would not be able to say that. In other words, if it was the size of an egg, we would say, yes, Reb Tzaddik ate it outside, but we wouldn't be able to say that he didn't wash the tzidayim or make a bracha chreina. Now, so that's why we said it less than a baya, but again, it could be that the size of an egg, or according to Rav Yosef, 2-3 eggs, are considered achilas arai, just a snack, which would be permitted to eat out of the sukkah.